And already on the phone right now is one of my favorite authors, Lisa Scottaglione. Her new book, The Unraveling of Julia, is in stores tomorrow, July 15th, from her new publishing house, Grand Central. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
How are you, honey? I love talking to you. It's sad that I have to write a whole book to be able to do it.
Well, I tried to get you for your last book, but whatever was going on, they said you were too busy. I don't know.
Oh, no. For you, never.
Well,
never.
That's what they told me.
I did change houses, so there was a little of that. Yeah. But happily, it's all settled now, so that's good.
Well, so you're with a new publishing house. You've been with every major publishing house now, haven't you?
Yes, although it's not like I mess around. I've been in this business, I guess, 40 years. So I've been about every 10 years. I kind of figured out, and I'll just tell it briefly, but I do like to change things up a little, what I'm writing.
Yeah.
You know, like I started with Rosato and Denando, and I love them, and I'll probably get back to them at some point. Hopefully they're going to be a TV series, but that's another subject. And I like to say that I started with legal thrillers, and I segued into domestic thrillers and historical thrillers. And The Unraveling of Julia is kind of a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
And so I felt like since I was changing it a little, I wanted to just change everything.
Well, I still love that Adam book that you wrote a few years back.
Let me think. I know which
he one was. He was the baseball.
One Perfect Lie.
Yeah, he was the baseball coach, but he had a secret about him that we came to find out.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that. I loved writing that book. That was really, really fun.
Well, I mean, I love all your books, but I always remember that one book.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm honored that you were, you know, first of all, given how busy you are, I think it's wonderful that you take the time to read so much and remember so much. It's a miracle.
Well, The Unraveling of Julia, we'll talk about it in a second, but I'm on your Twitter page. I still call it Twitter X.
You can call it Twitter.
You give a shout out to Daniel Silver, and I just read his last book. It was the Gabrielle Allen series. It's such a great series.
Yeah, it's a great series. I really love a good series for everything. Because I love the idea that, you know, a series is a different matter because you're spending time with a character over years. But it's also kind of great to have a standalone, too. I like the variety.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I've sort of said. Readers read all widely, you know. I don't know anybody, I could be wrong, who just reads only series or only standalone, you know. So we're very lucky to live in a time when there's just so much great, there's so many great stories in popular culture, really. It's just fantastic.
I read at the beginning of his book in his notes that Gabrielle Allen series was supposed to be a one and done book.
Well, that happens. Like, frankly, The Unraveling of Julia, which is the one where I'm at with now, is what's supposed to be one and done. And when I finished it, I was like, damn, I like this character. I think she has more stories to tell. And I'm about to finish the second one.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's absolutely right. I mean, it happens. Not every main character is series worthy.
Yeah.
But some are. Some have room to grow and move. And I'm starting to be more aware of that when that happens.
Go ahead.
No, I get what he's saying, though. You're right to point it out, because that is exactly how I feel.
One more thing on your page, and then we'll get into the book. I'm so jealous, and I don't know if this has happened yet, the 12th Annual Thriller School with you, Lisa Jewell, Lisa Unger, Greg Hurwitz, Lisa Gardner. This just looks like it's going to be a fun time.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, and it will be online so everybody can do it. Look for my website somewhere. It will have it. It's called the Lisa Panel, because we just had the idea. It's the second time we've done it. It's just people named Lisa. And Greg is the moderator, because we need a Greg to be around.
Well,
we all happen to be suspense writers, and it's kind of great.
Will he be an honorary Lisa for this panel?
It depends on if he's good enough, you know. I don't know what to tell you.
And I'm also looking at a picture of your daughter, Francesca, who I just read her book. I'm going to be interviewing her.
I'm so happy. Thank you for that. It's a wonderful full bloom.
Full bloom. It's really good. It's fun. It's It'll be out in the beginning of August, but I digress. So I'll be interviewing her pretty soon. I got to set a date with
her. Well, that's a great digression. Yeah. I love talking about her. I'm very proud of her. I didn't, you know, people think, did you push her into it? No, because I wanted her to be a vet, actually. We really need a vet. But she's a really wonderful writer, and this book, Full Bloom, is just really wonderful. It's a story about a woman who gets a bespoke perfume, and it changes her life. So yep. It's really a great book. I'm really proud of her.
Well, one more question about her. When are we getting another mother-daughter book?
I know. I wish we could. For people who don't know, we wrote, I guess there were 9 memoirs.
Yeah.
They're all funny. It's just funny stories about mothers and daughters. And we got that idea, honestly, because we are best friends. And I think a lot of mothers and daughters are. You know, she's number one on my speed dial. I'm number one on hers. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have our ups and downs, and we wrote about that, but we made it funny. And we did so many of them, and they did really well. But they did take time, and she's trying to write a novel, and I'm trying to write a novel. So I hope we get back to it. But, you know, we are writing. I mean, people can sign up for free at my website. I still write a funny column every week, and she joins in from time to time. That gets sent to your mailbox for free.
Oh, cool. LisaScodione.com.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, The Unraveling of Julia. So Julia Pritzker, she's happily married, she's in love, she's out for dinner with her husband, but she had a bad feeling about this night.
Right. And then it gets a premonition.
Yeah,
right.
And then it comes to pass. Her husband is murdered right in front
right
of her.
Right in front of her.
So
right.
She's freaked out. She stays in her apartment. She, you know, doesn't have much of a description to give the police. She's calling every day. She lost her adopted parents. And she's basically alone in the world except for her best friend.
Right, right.
And then she gets a letter out of the blue. She has inherited a Tuscan villa and vineyard worth a lot of money. And she needs to meet with an Italian lawyer who is handling the estate of a stranger named Emilia Rossi. Julia has no information about her biological family. She wonders if Rossi could be a blood relative, so she heads to Tucson for her answers.
Tuscany.
I'm sorry. Did I say Tucson?
That's
Tuscany.
All right. Tucson's pretty cool, but Tuscany might be kind of cooler.
Yeah. Did you go there to do research?
Absolutely did. And I love the way you summarize that, by the way. You're a good storyteller. I like that.
Well, no, this is from the book company. This is their synopsis.
Oh, well, in the beginning, it had some good inflection. I was like, all right, dramatic reading. I like it. yes, that's what happens, because she goes there to figure out, wait a minute, who left me all this money and a Tuscan villa? And when she finds out, is that the person would be about the age of her biological grandmother. Now, she's an adoptee, and she doesn't know anything about her birth family. So in a way, this journey is not just to figure out who gave her this money and the estate, it's to figure out her own identity, which is something she's always wondered about. And so when she gets there, she finds out, long story short, that that this grandmother, who person who might be her grandmother, was actually suffered from first off, paranoia, was a recluse, was sort of the town's outcast, and just had delusions that she was related to a famous duchess from the Renaissance named Caterina Sforza. And then our girl Julia starts to dig and starts to wonder if that's true. And then kind of, well, unraveling ensues. Let's put it that way, because we don't want to give away too many plot twists.
Well, she thinks she sees ghosts.
Right. She starts to believe the delusions are real. And she starts to experience the same delusions, if they're really delusions, that her biological grandmother did.
And
the villa isn't like a nice villa. It's a tumble-down, spooky villa. It's a spooky villa.
Yeah, and then there's people that seem to be after her for reasons she doesn't know. She meets a man who may or may not be a future love interest for her, but at least he's a friend who's helping her mm-hmm. out. Her best mm-hmm. friend comes over to kind of help her out, and
mm-hmm.
It all leads to her finding out answers to questions that she may not want to know, or she might want to know.
Right, right, right. Well said. Exactly. You always want a novel, especially a thriller.
Yeah.
to work on a couple of levels. You want to look, as you know, I don't write with an outline. So I just got that idea. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a good idea. Let's go with that idea. And then I'm just trying to figure out what would happen next, what would happen next, what would happen next. And I will tell you that I've always sort of, you were saying, what's really behind this book? I've always wondered about premonitions and second senses and second sight and stuff like that. Because my mother always thought she had it. And I will tell you really briefly that somebody gave me a, 40 years ago, somebody gave me a gift of going to a channeler.
Oh.
And the, I know. And I thought, this is complete BS. Not, I don't believe a word of it. I walk in there a total, total skeptic. And this woman says to me, closes her eyes, goes into a trance. And should I tell a story? Do you want to hear the story?
Yeah, make it quick, though.
Okay, well, the bottom line is she goes into a trance, and when she opens her eyes, she says, you secretly want to be a writer, and that is the reason for your unhappiness, because you're blocking that wish.
Oh, wow.
And you should, and I was like, at that point, I was just divorced. I had been a lawyer. I did secretly want to be a writer, but I'm just telling you this, Mark, I never told anyone, not anyone, no one. And so not only did she know something that she could not have known, if you were going to say, oh, she took a lucky guess, let me tell you something. As soon as she said it, I felt it. It resonated in me. And she was like, I was like, oh, my God, what's going on? She said, your spirit guides have been trying to tell you to follow that course. And that night, I went home and I started my first book. And that's a true story.
Wow.
And I've always wanted to write about that, because there's been little things over the years that have made me really believe more and more that there's more to this world that is spiritual that we know. We just don't know everything. And everything we see isn't necessarily all there is. And so I wanted to explore that in this book. Because if you start to think that way, I'm going to use the term crazy, even though people use it pejoratively and they shouldn't, which is part of the reason, part of the point of this novel. But that you start to wonder, am I crazy or am I right? Am I seeing something other people aren't, or am I just completely making it up? And that's the unraveling that's in The Unraveling of Julia.
Oh, you're giving me chills. I always love hearing stories about authors like got into their writing profession, how they got
crazy
started.
And I haven't ever told that story. I didn't tell it until yesterday. And I was like, Lisa, you're not going to be used to telling a story. The book is out this week. It is the reason that I went in this direction in this book. It's still very much like the other novels I've written, where there's a woman and she's got to figure stuff out and she's kind of, you know, stronger than she knows, which I think a lot of us are. We don't think we're strong, but we really are. But this has a little bit of a psychological dimension.
You mentioned earlier, and I don't know how much you can talk about it, but did you sell the rights for a TV deal to your lawyer characters?
Yes, actually. I'm very excited about this. So Rosato and D'Annunzio is the legal thriller
series
that I love. And I started, thank you. So there's 17 books in that series. And they have been optioned as a group by Skydance Studios.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's really great. And, when it gets farther along, it's in development now.
Yeah.
When it gets farther along, we'll announce it. But I can say it now. It's not confidential, and it's really wonderful. Lately, Hollywood has sort of found me. After 35 years in this business and 35 books,
yeah.
One of the Devlins is, you know, being optioned. A couple of the One Perfect Lie, the one you like, is being looked at. So really great. You know, I think streaming, I love the culture, and I think streaming, I watch TV all the time, right? I always have it all in my office anyway. I read and I watch TV. That's my life. I live alone. Hello. but streaming presents a lot of opportunities to see stories in different formats. You know what else has audio?
Yeah.
I've become an audiobook freak. I mean, I love audiobooks. And I just got back from a dog walk. I listen to audio all the time. I just got finished Nate Bargatze's Big Dumb Eyes, which was so funny and cute. I just love him. Huh.
Well, I always say when authors tell me, as long as the check clears, that's half the battle with these TV rights or movie rights.
Yeah, you know, and it's the people, the misconceptions are that, it's easy to get it made, and it's not.
No, it's
like
not.
Even that your option is wonderful, and I'm happy to have come that far and happy to have people working on it and showrunners and all that stuff. But until it's, I stay in my lane.
Yeah.
My lane is writing books, one a year, and believing in them wholeheartedly and putting my whole soul on that page and do that every time. I would, you know, I'd be so great if one of those TV things happened or a movie thing happened, because I think it would bring people to the books.
Yeah.
But my love and my bread and butter is the books. And I'm lucky enough that I've had readers for 35 books that they go, you kind of like you said, you know, what's up with Rizzotti? We're going to see Mary Rizzotti, you know, Benny again. We're going to see Mary. What, you know, it's really nice to have people care about characters that you created. And I think about them all the time, too. And that's the blessing of my life. I love what I do for that reason.
Well, The Unraveling of Julia from Grand Central is in stores tomorrow, the 15th, depending on when you listen to this, July 15th. Run, don't walk, go to Amazon, go to your bookstore, go to support your local bookstore, independent bookstores. Then go to your website, lisascotaleone.com, to see where you're going to be. Lisa, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to the next book with this character. Is that the next book?
Thank you.
With Julia?
Exactly,
okay.
It is.
And about another year from now, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you then. Good luck with everything, and it was a pleasure talking
to you
again.
Thank you. So, Mark, you're such a doll. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
You stay well now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.